The other thing I would make sure that HR people need to do to make sure that they are future-proof is to know their business. Knowing the business, knowing who they're supporting, what is EBITDA? How is the company doing financially? All of that is going to future-proof an HR person.
They keep telling us that it's all over for HR. The age of AI is upon us, and that means HR should be prepared to be decimated. We reject that message. The future of HR won't be handed to us. Instead, it'll be defined by those ready to experiment, adopt, and adapt. Future-proof HR invites these builders to share what they're trying, how it's going, what they've learned, and what's next. We are committed to arming HR with the AI insights to not just survive, but to thrive. Hello and welcome to the Future Proof HR Podcast. I'm your host, Thomas Kunjapu. And on this podcast, as always, we're exploring how forward-thinking leaders, especially in HR, are preparing for disruption and redefining what it means to lead people in a changing world. Today's guest is Marta Vittini, Vice President of Human Resources at Renovations Brand, private equity-backed home improvement group. With experience spanning manufacturing, retail, and technology-driven transformation, Marta is known for bringing HR into the conversation early, especially when organizations are navigating change. She's led 3 acquisitions in the past 5 years and helped integrate new teams with empathy, speed, and structure. Today, we'll be talking about how HR can lead during acquisitions and how AI is reshaping the employee experience as well as the firm at large. And without any further ado, Marta, welcome to the
podcast. Thank you, Thomas. I'm very honored to be here and looking forward to our conversation.
So there's a lot of things that we could use as starting points, right? But I thought it would be interesting if we started with talking about acquisitions, right? We were talking the other day and you mentioned how you need HR discipline in acquisitions, no matter the size. Not everyone has the experience of going through that from an HR lens. You've done it many times. What are your takeaways and advice for everyone else?
The first thing I would say is an acquisition, and no matter the size, you still have the same steps. And I would make sure that HR leaders and teams are involved as soon as possible in the discussions with acquisitions. There are a lot of legal things for HR professionals to look at. There are cultural things to look at. There are organization training. So any part of that, benefits especially, to look at in an acquisition. So if you're on either end of the acquisition, being the acquiring person or company or the acquired entity, it's just a long list. And most people think it's benefits, paperwork, payroll. There are so many other aspects to an acquisition than just those basic items. And I've worked with different checklists, and that is probably the best way to get the information is a huge checklist.
Of everything that you need to get aligned on.
Correct.
Yeah, I think in an acquisition, from an acquiree employee's perspective, it's, do I still have a job?
Correct.
Am I still getting paid the same? And is my manager changing? And what about my benefits and total compensation? So you're right. Those are some like basic things, but you're saying there's much more and a longer checklist and a much deeper way to get in. So when you say early, like when in that process do you imagine ideally for you that you want to be personally involved in the acquisition?
From an HR leader, I would want to be involved as soon as a letter of intent is issued. So if there's a letter of intent or other type of document that says, we are intending to buy your company, that's when HR should be involved, or before, no later than that, because that's the part where they do due diligence. And a lot of people are looking more at the financials and are they profitable and are there any debts out there? But from an HR perspective, there's the legal and compliance. Are there workers' comp claims? Are there any lawsuits out there? Do they have a pension? Do they have a 401k plan? So there's all those other aspects that people just thinking about an acquisition don't think about if they're not within the HR realm and have not done an acquisition.
Got it. So it's right, making sure you're really in that due diligence stage before a close.
Correct.
And I think what I'm hearing is that you could be throwing a yellow flag up for around the deal as much as any other leader around the organization as well, right?
That's correct, Thomas. And we've had yellow flags in the three acquisitions we've done. Luckily, there have only been a few yellow flags, but that's when you bring in your legal counsel, outside employment attorney. I am not an attorney, and I do not expect that I know everything. But if there's something, with all of my years of experience, there are things that pop out where you're like, let's at least question when you're looking at the data. And you look at all the data. You look at the old files. You look at things like an I-9. Those are things that most HR people understand you need to make sure that they are right. But when you get down to what is it, a defined benefit plan or a defined compensation plan? Do you do medical for retirees, who they are? So there's a lot of it, and it can be challenging, but I believe in checklists in my own personal life, but especially in an acquisition. And there are a lot of resources out there, but to make sure that the HR person going through an acquisition looks at everything that they can think of, but it's at the same time also keeping the new employees in mind, especially we talked about culture yesterday from a cultural perspective. You just can't throw everything at them. You need to make sure that they understand, like you said, do they have a job? How am I going to get paid? What are my benefits? But also the culture, because culture is extremely important. Do you keep their culture? Do you like their culture better than your own culture? Do you want to switch? So there's a lot of things in it. And HR people that have been in the industry for a while and have gone through acquisitions or about to go through an acquisition, they have to keep all of this in mind. And it's very challenging. And it does take a toll, but you get through it. And I get through it through my checklist. Okay, I can do that. I can do this one now. Check. This one's going to take me some time.
So let's talk about that, the integration aspect, right? So you've gone through letter of intent, diligence, threw up the yellow flags, resolved them, got to close. And now with leadership on both sides, as well as with the HR team being a central linchpin in that, you're looking to integrate this company into the larger entity. From your experience, what are the things that can go wrong or typically go wrong that get you off track?
I think the things that can make you go off track is not being on the ground on day one to the new acquired company. Leadership should be there. HR should be there. Every acquisition that we've done at my previous company, this one were mostly remote, but the previous two, we were on the ground that morning, 8 o'clock. We had our game plan. We're going to have an all hands meeting. Then we're going to meet with the managers, and the managers are going to meet with their team. Very structured. And of course, reinforcing the, yes, you have a job. Here are your benefits. Your pay staying the same. But then talk about why we wanted to acquire the company. You acquire a company because of the people. The people make a company profitable. So you explain to them that's happening. You make sure that they see the senior leadership, that they see the HR team, so that they can put a name and a face, that you're not just this big bad company coming in and buying their company.
Once that's all done, there's a big change management process is like what I'm hearing, right?
Yes.
At some point, it should feel like one company, unless there's a strategy to keep either brands or, but the point is the integration should be done as and complete, and you move on, almost like employee onboarding, or at some point you're onboarded and you gotta just move on. From an integration, from a company acquisition standpoint, what is done? What is at the bottom of the checklist?
I was going to correct you because I don't think it's ever done from an onboarding perspective. You continually have to onboard and you continually have to engage your employees or you're going to lose them. So it's not just, hey, you're onboarded, 30 days have happened, 90 days have happened, you go on and be a normal employee. You have to continue that engagement. You have to continue with that reward and recognition. The same thing goes with an acquisition. You need to have that, it's communication. So for example, my current company and some others, we do peer-to-peer recognition programs so that people can say, hey, you did a great job. We have Monday morning motivations, which every Monday, a little quote from somebody goes out to all of the emails. We do town halls. Town halls and things like that are extremely important, especially on an acquired company, so that they can see the vision. They can hear from the leaders. Sometimes it's just numbers, but if you have a town hall set up right and keep the communication going, and then talking about the wins on both sides, the new company and the acquiring company. So to me, it's all about communication. There is not a, you're not done. You're not done. there's still things because I think the employees want to make sure even a year or two after the close that they're still part of it. And sometimes integrating is hard. It just depends on the culture of both companies and which culture is going to win out. And hopefully it's going to be the better of the two.
Ah, so even if you're the acquiring company, you're open to maybe taking in qualities that might set you up more better for the future. Okay, I was going to ask this later on, but you brought up culture as a key point in integration. Maybe that's something you're even being involved with in some ways in diligence to suss out with what we're really going to talk about in the back half here about AI and like a need for more and more companies that are looking to be AI native and to have a culture that expresses that innovation. Is that something you feel like it's getting to the point where it's something you're considering or would consider in due diligence in acquisitions as well?
I hadn't thought about that. It's a great thought on implementing that. I'm not exactly sure how to implement something like that. Yeah, I don't know.
But you are ensuring that the culture like matches or meshes, and whatever the culture you're trying to get towards with your organization is something you're going to ensure that any company that you're acquiring has, and there's value in that.
Correct. And back to we acquired the company because of the people, because the people make it profitable. So the cultures, we try to incorporate them. It does take time, and sometimes it doesn't work. We've had companies, and I've heard this from other colleagues, it's still an us and a them. 2 years after an acquisition, some people are not good at change. But yeah, the culture, we try to get them together. You pick the best of the best. You pick the best of the best. And that's what you're hoping for your culture. Because everyone wants to be the great place to work.
Right. No quotes. No air quotes, actually. A great place to work. But I'd love to pivot a little bit forward to something really interesting that you told me about, which is CEO AI Innovation Award.
Oh, yes.
Okay. And so that, I'm just using that as a teaser, but can you just tell me about the AI journey that your organization has been on and tell us about that?
It's been very intense and very fast. It was this year. So in 2025, AI has come out and we've dabbled in it. Everyone's looked at Copilot and ChatGPT. Our CEO has embraced AI through either Copilot or ChatGPT or other ones, because there's a whole bunch of different ones out there, depending on what your need is, embraced it. We actually have an award. We're doing it on a quarterly basis, and the quarter just ended, and we have individuals. And it's interesting because you would think maybe it's all IT or it's not. We have creative people who present or who are going to be presenting. We have a marketing person. We do have more of an IT person and a salesperson, sales customer service. So the individuals that have submitted things have used ChatGPT to help their business, their parts of the business do better, makes their tasks easier. And then we also have a team that's going to evaluate those submissions on a quarterly basis. And then of course they're going to get money, which is great, and a certificate, and it'll be the inaugural award. But what we like about it is because our CEO has pushed this to everyone. You should be using it. We implemented all exempt employees needed to be trained on AI. It's basically 101 and 102. And it's a requirement. And he believes that we should be doing analysis of it. We actually, now, ChatGPT is the one we use. I'm not saying it's good for us. But if you have the regular version, they use your information for training. You have the enterprise value, the enterprise version, then they keep your data so that we can do the analysis of our financials so that we don't get anything out to the universe. I use it for turnover reports. I can look at turnover reports and I can see trends. ChatGPT can take this turnover report monthly and I can ask them to update the new file and then give me the same charts. And then give me what trends are. Where should I be looking? What are you seeing? And can you forecast out for the rest of the year what we think the turnover is going to be? So that in turn helps my talent acquisition person ramp up for potential terminations. You can ask what brand, what department, even maybe what role do do you think we will lose before the end of the year? So things like that from an HR perspective, it's great. The rest of the organization, the finance team's using it. Marketing team is using it to create images and videos. We are probably the strongest adapter of AI of any company, of anyone that I've talked to. So I'm actually impressed with how much we're using it.
And it's really interesting because you're seeing it's gone from 0 to 60 in a few seconds, right? Because
Yes. If
we're talking in 2024, it's something you're aware of, but you wouldn't be talking about it in terms of the internal transformation. It sounds
Correct. Organization-wide
in the same way. I guess you talked about how a lot of these day-to-day rituals, operations, awards, ways that you're moving the culture, right? And a lot of that being driven from leadership. Now, what do you think is your, and also more broadly, HR's role in executing on such a vision?
I think there's many aspects to it, but one is the communication, is the who, what, when, where, why, and how. What this is. Why are we doing this? How can it help me? I like to tell people, if you're going to implement something like a training with him, what's in it for me? How is this going to help? We've given examples for each of the departments, so each functional area. Like, this is what it can help you do. Try it. We do have individuals that have embraced it, that use it all the time. I am one. And we also have some individuals that are a little nervous to use it. And we have some coaching, but let's walk through it. It's about your prompts. What do you want? What do you need? What is going to help you? So HR's role is communication, making sure that everybody knows how to use it, the basics, and then looking at to like monitoring to see, is it a bubble? Everyone's using it now, but we're not going to use it in a week. So making sure that the engagement of using AI is still there.
Got it. So you're monitoring like the behavior. It's like a giant change management program.
Yes.
And you talk about communication. And so you're the linchpin in ensuring that this is happening throughout the organization. And it's really interesting, the examples that you bring up, the finalists for the award, because it's across so many different functions and it's really across the board. And you mentioned there's training for all exempt employees. Is it fair to say then that it's a part of your core onboarding process now, training around this, as well as I'm wondering if you go even upstream from that, is it getting into the recruiting funnel or the interview process as a consideration in any kind of way?
It is embedded into the HR function. From the recruiting side, we've not actually even approached the AI award and talk about how integrated we are and how much we are embracing AI in any of the interview processes, but it's something that would make a really good statement. Now, we post things out on LinkedIn and our social media accounts and things like that. We will be posting things about the AI award once we determine who the winners are or the ones we've selected as the top three sometime end of the month or beginning of November. We will get that out there. It's not specifically a recruiting initiative at this exact moment. It is something that will be down the road, but we will have it out there on our social media so people will see it.
I'm just imagining like you made this so central to like how you want the organization to be operating. And so you're creating all these behaviors, you're reinforcing it, you have these rituals to and awards to enable that. And then I'm just imagining it, how that can eventually even go into your talent pipeline where you're actively seeking out and making it part of the employer brand.
Yes.
These are the kind of folks you want to attract who are either they've done those trainings already and they're already into it, or they're excited at the possibility that they will be able to do this in their onboarding journey.
Yeah. And Thomas, we have on our onboarding platform, we have an LMS in it, learning management system, and we can assign those intro training courses or additional ones to any employee we want. It's through the HR system, so they can do it on their phone, et cetera. So that part is onboarding for our exempt employees so that they do have to take that course.
So that's great. So then let's talk a little bit more about HR use cases for AI. You already mentioned how you personally, from a data and analysis standpoint, seeing a lot of value from it. Yeah, could you just tell us a little bit about ways you've seen it for you or your broader team for HR workflows or HR use cases that you've seen value?
Well, a little bit of everything. Communication is one. Sometimes you have to write an email that needs to go to the organization and you don't know how to start it. From switching, something's going to happen or benefits are going up, something like that. And you can write something and then ask ChatGPT to make it nicer, make it employee-centric, make it whatever. Using it as a tool, not the end-all be-all. So from that aspect, there's also sometimes where we have individuals asking questions and trying to respond to someone who you want to say, didn't you read what I sent you before? But so you need to write it nicer. We've all been there, haven't
we? Write it nicer, yeah.
I've written there. I'm like, write this nicer. But Thomas, there's everything. We're going to use AI from a recruiting standpoint, looking for that in the future. Also benefits. We are looking at trying to find the best benefit funding. There is fully insured and self-insured and level funded, et cetera. So we're looking at what is the best for an organization our size? What are the other options? How can we make this better when the costs are going up and the employees' pay doesn't go up as much as the renewal comes up? So we're looking at AI for some ideas. So anything from data to creative ideas. I want to find a zero cost engagement or wellness project for remote employees. We don't have an on-site office for the corporate people. We do have other facilities, but I want to do something for wellness. How do I engage 100 people that are remote to do a wellness challenge? Things like that. It's a great tool. And what's interesting, I think, about AI is it's so much different than searching the web, because you can ask it, so your prompts can be so specific to exactly what you need in your returns. Google and Bing and all those, it's more about what's on the web. So it's different. Not saying it's the be-all and all. I still go out and search the web when you're looking for something. I will be cautious for HR professionals to not use it as full legal advice. You can find legal advice within ChatGPT, but if you're worried about something truly on a legal perspective, check with your employment attorney.
This has been a fantastic conversation so far. If you haven't already done so, make sure to join our community. We're building a network of the most forward-thinking HR and people operations professionals who are defining the future. I will personally be sharing news and ideas around how we can all thrive in the age of AI. You can find it at gocleary.com/cleary-community. Now back to the show. Oh, I thought you were going to say you should Google it. Okay.
You could do that too. Maybe on a policy, but not on an actual something legal. But yeah.
So that brings up a broader point, which is about guardrails, right? Both
yes.
Mental guardrails, which is, I think, what you're talking about. Like, you need to be smart about fit for purpose use case, like when the boundaries are of using your own judgment or a human expert versus going with it. That there's maybe arguably it's just common sense, but maybe it's not. But then there's also guardrails around even like use cases where certain use cases just make it such that, okay, you don't want to mess with it. Do you think about it that way? What are the guardrails that you have for how and when to leverage AI in your workflows?
From an HR perspective, I think you should try them in every aspect of HR. From compensation to benefits, to recruiting, to onboarding, to communication. I think it has a benefit in all areas. Specifically, I can't tell you what, because it will depend on what you're asking ChatGPT or AI to answer for you. But I think as long as people don't use it as the only source, that they use it as an enhancement to their role, enhancement to their processes, things like that. And I think it's great. I think it's wonderful, but need to make sure that you're using your critical thinking. And we talked about that yesterday. One of the things that I told you I was concerned about, and I might be jumping ahead, is the critical thinking aspect for people who use it too much.
Yeah, I think that's another way, like when I said mental guardrails, that's really what it is, critical thinking. How am I using this? Should I be using it? Yeah, tell me more about that.
I was thinking about this because there are different age groups. You have the more mature, the older population that are going to use it or have been, and you can read studies on it, are using it to, you can go shopping or you can answer something or whatever. You go down to the people who are more the millennials and the Gen Zs, because they've been with computers for so long and smartphones, they are using it more and more. So the question comes into play is how much is too much from an overall perspective? Because the lack of critical thinking, if they've not had critical thinking, they're not going to have it forever, because someone who is 40s, 50s, 60s, they have critical thinking because we didn't have all those tech, we didn't have the technology, et cetera. The people who are in their 20s and 30s, they've had it. That's all they know. Is their critical thinking as strong as the older generations? And that's one thing I think is something that needs to be looked at. Because if your computer goes down, I can still work. I can still do some things, but some people can't. How do you function? And I'm not sure if everyone can.
Oh, that sounds difficult. If the Wi-Fi goes down, it sounds difficult for me.
But
I think this concept of critical thinking is, with relation to AI, I think you're bringing up, because I think what I'm hearing is that when you're using AI for whatever your use case is on the personal or on the work front, there can be this tendency to outsource more than you should to the tool, right?
Absolutely.
So knowing the right question to ask and knowing when to question the answer is, and actively engaging with it, I think is something that I think maybe you're arguing is something that's natural for someone having this conversation with themselves or reading a book or doing research to figure out, piece together the answer. So using one of your examples, you're looking for benefits, a way to researching options around benefits brokers to reduce costs. You might be calling up different vendors in that space, looking at market research reports, trying to compare quotes, talk to peers. There's a variety of different things that you're basically collecting data on and then trying to put that together to a recommendation and a mental model of what would be the best approach. But you could theoretically one-shot all of that with ChatGPT and just say, what's the best thing that I should use? And they go, and here you go, and say, here's what we should do. And there's a risk there, right? And
there's a huge risk, Thomas. Think about the risk. If you had ChatGPT do something and your executive comes back and goes, why did you suggest this? You're not going to say ChatGPT told me. You need to be able to not defend it, but to explain the decision. And that's where I want to make sure, and I hope people are going to be using that critical thinking to say, like you had said, Thomas, hey, question it. Is that the right answer for our organization? Or is that the right answer on something that I asked from a personal or a work perspective? So yeah, it's those things have to be thought about beyond it. It's a tool. It's not the be all end all.
Yeah, really interesting. So then can we talk about the change management aspect of all of this within the organization? You've set the path, and I'm talking more broadly, right?
Yeah.
The entire company. You want to get everyone leveraging, getting into this mindset, experimenting, using it for, like you said, all use cases while using your critical thinking. How has that been going? And I'm sure it can't have been uniform. And how do you, as an HR leader, think about change management for those who are more resistant or not quite coming along as quickly on the ride?
One of the things that we have, I think I had mentioned that we do have a report that says who's using it, how often they're using it, because organizations have to pay for it. So we're like, okay, are you using it? And we take the bottom, maybe 10%, maybe 20%, and we ask them, have you used it? What are you using it for? Here are some ideas. So we try to help coach them if they feel that it's not right for their role, and it might not be, and it might be, to try to give them some ideas and some ways to use it and how it can help your job. You know what? Go out to ChatGPT and say, I'm a marketing analyst. What can you do to help me in my role? Why not ask ChatGPT that? And I had someone do that, and they actually ChatGPT came up with a whole list of things that ChatGPT could help them with.
I love that. You're actively using data to help enable people further. I love that. A very practical tip.
Yeah.
Now, when you think about change management continuing on that theme, right? This is clearly a CEO-driven, organizational-wide initiative. And how do you think about HR leaders who may be the ones who are most excited and think they want a transformation and are looking to build that excitement across the C-suite? It seems like it may have come in like the other way in your case, but is it possible to drive this kind of shift if you believe it's really important for your organization from the HR leadership seat? Or who or how do you engage with your leaders to ensure everyone's aligned in this direction?
Great question, Thomas. One of the things I would start with is start with the CEO. The HR leader should have a one-on-one conversation with the CEO and explain why and how this could benefit the organization. And give you the back to the example of the turnover. Hey, if I use ChatGPT, I can tell you trends and we can get into more details on where there's potential issues. It's a manager. We can go down the manager and say, this manager has, you know, a 30% turnover and the rest of the company has 5. There's something going on here. So you want to have that conversation. At the same time, when you're talking about how it can help HR, you want to say, oh, and then the financials. And then you talk about each department. And then you have to get the CEO on board. You can have another C-suite individual to be your champion. Finance and accounting is a really good one to have because of the analysis. Take your FP&A individuals. ChatGPT can do a lot more quicker analysis than the average person. They can do it in a couple minutes. Some of our financial analysts take a long time to get that information, or if you do it through Excel. So have the conversation with the CEO, but bring facts. Don't just say, hey, I think ChatGPT is really good for the organization. You want to tell them why. What's the return on investment? It's not a huge investment. And then find a champion. Talk to someone. If you have a great personal relationship or whatever with another C-suite person, say, listen, this is what I'm thinking about doing. Have you worked with ChatGPT or any of the others? And then once people start talking about it and they are going to try it, and then, but you communicate. But the HR person, if they're going to drive it, need to go to the C-suite with the facts. How can it help the organization with better productivity, better processes, thing in that realm?
I guess it follows from that. It's like you could also, within your realm, right, become the little mini innovation engine as well, right?
So
take some part of the employee experience that you own directly and then try to implement some changes there. This connects me to a thought. Sorry to jump around a little
That's
bit here,
okay.
Mama, but this reminded me of what we were talking about before about the cognitive posture you need to have towards this. Let's take performance management. Let's take an example of a company that does the classic annual performance review cycle or quarterly, whatever it is, where there's a bunch of managers, peers are writing a lot of feedback about each other. There might be a temptation, and it's probably going through for a lot of these things to be written by AI.
Yes.
Is that okay? Is that good? Is that bad? When existing things that where it's supposed to be a human endeavor, where you're giving feedback on something that matters, but then if you see people start to use AI for that, is that like plagiarism for an essay?
Well,
how do you think about that?
That's interesting, calling it plagiarism. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't think it should be the be all end all. I think it can be a tool to help you. The company does self-appraisals like our company does. And you're trying to say, I am really good at this, but I'm not really good at this. Instead of saying it that way, ask, what's a more professional way to say that? You can tell if it's written by ChatGPT. Professors at college can tell if your paper's been written by ChatGPT. There are certain things, it's not to the point where it sounds more human. You can make it sound human, but you can still tell it's a little ChatGPT. It all gets down to, sometimes the managers might have to have a hard conversation with someone and they put in their comment, okay, how am I going to say, they don't want to demotivate the employee, but you want to say they're not doing a great job, but you have potential. And before that, people would have to rewrite it multiple times because they didn't know. ChatGPT helps them. Now, again, not the be all end all, I don't think that ChatGPT should write people's reviews, but part of my job next week will be going through our performance appraisals, the self-appraisals and managers. And I'm actually going to look for some ChatGPT because the CEO and I had a little joke going, how many people are going to use their performance appraisal all through ChatGPT. So we'll see how that goes.
Imagine the average word count is going to go up. Maybe that's a correlation. I don't know, but I imagine.
I'll let you know.
That could be a KPI for AI usage.
Exactly. Yeah.
In some kind of way. But yeah, just when you're talking about like HR workflows and we're talking about the cognitive element to that, it reminded me of this concept of performance management. But I love that example of the manager, because that manager who is really trying to deliver the message in the right way, I think that's a great example of someone cognitively using it appropriately, in that they know what they want to say. They understand their judgment of the situation. They also understand the outcomes they want, to not be demotivating, to help
Correct.
The employee, and also be clear in their communication and firm, but also motivating. And if you have all of that's cognitive, that's some real critical thinking, at least in the background. And then it's the role here of the AI is to help you transform that into the outcome more efficiently. Arguably, if you keep doing that over and over again, you start to lose the muscle of, there's some benefits to going through those multiple drafts as a manager to write it well and really internalizing when you've demotivated an employee, maybe. But there's some pros and cons every time with any technology with efficiency.
Correct. And it is sometimes challenging to write something about an employee when you don't want them to leave. It's not like they're going on a performance PIP or anything like that. But yeah, it's a good tool. Again, you have to be able to then look at it. And if I want to tell someone that they're not doing a good job, I might put it in ChatGPT if I'm not sure. Or if I write it back to the critical thinking and say, is this too harsh? Can you make this more formal? Can you make it more casual? Can you add this to it? We were doing performance appraisals for my team, and I said, I want to add in comments from their customers, which are the ELT and the SLT, or a senior leadership team. And I said, here are the comments. Help me put them in the right question. I didn't know which question it should go into, or put it in the summary. So I did ask ChatGPT where it should go. And of course, ChatGPT did a good job. They put it in the right place after I looked at it and thought. But back to the critical thinking. Again, it's a tool to hopefully make your work life easier.
Great. I love that additional example there. So let's look ahead a little bit while we close out, go to the future, because we're all about future proofing. Let's talk about the HR function specifically. So how do you see your HR function transforming over the next few years with AI? What does a day-to-day look like today versus in the future, the way you see it?
Good question, Thomas. I'm hoping that it will be less task-driven. I think in almost every organization, everyone tries to be strategic, but it's still task-oriented. Having AI with maybe your handbook, so the employee can go in and just say, hey, what is my time off? Or what is my bereavement? Or I have a workers' comp claim. And go there, as opposed to sending an email to HR and waiting for a response and then getting more details and going back and forth. I think from an employee standpoint and even a manager standpoint, I think having things automated through AI will help from a task perspective. I also think that AI can help with trends and what's going on from either we have employees in 35 different states. Oh, what's the latest law on overtime? Or what's the latest minimum wage in the state of Illinois? So I think, again, back to being a tool, I also think that it can give more insights to the organization. You can run reports, or you can ask ChatGPT, hey, give me some trends on turnover under 1 year. Do you think we're paying the right wage for all of our sales reps, if they have a commission plan, if they don't have a commission plan? So I think it's going to be embraced more. And as I tell people, I hope it's going to be used for good and not evil. But yeah, I think it's here to stay. And I think people and organizations are going to embrace it more and more. I think up until the beginning of this year, I think companies were a little concerned about it from the security standpoint, the learning standpoint, because it tells you that it's learning with all of the questions and the responses through it. I think it's here to stay, and I think it's going to be big.
So if I were to put a sharp point on what you just said, so it's removing a lot of the task-driven elements of the role.
Yes.
For various parts of subfunctions within HR. And then you mentioned, I would call it like research, right? So whatever the question you have, whether using internal data or external, like state compliance data, you're trying to ask a question and try to get that. I think the transformation you're talking about is that those answers can come to you much faster than they are in the previous ways where either you're talking to consultants or you're doing lots of searches or you're not, it's just taking a lot of time. So the resolution, including your handbook example, the resolution time in that case for the employee can just be closed like much faster.
Correct.
If that's true, then my question is for HR leaders and practitioners, what are the skill sets you think that are going to be expressed more and going to be more needed to future-proof themselves and to be really relevant and useful in a new way of working?
What I tell people, whether it's an HR professional or if it's anybody, continue to learn. Know what's out there. Go to every single webinar you can go to. Read anything that you can read. Listen to all podcasts, especially this one. Shameless plug there for you, Thomas. But continuing to learn and know what's out there and not just sit back and do your job. It doesn't matter if you're an first time, you're an HR assistant to a CHRO. You have to continue to learn. You have to know what's out there. The other thing I would make sure that HR people need to do to make sure that they are future-proof is to know their business. Knowing the business, knowing who they're supporting. What is EBITDA? How is the company doing financially? All of that is going to future-proof an HR person. Knowing how compensation works, knowing benefit costs, anything like that from a financial perspective is going to help an HR person. So learn about the business, and then how can they help make the employees, but especially the C-suite, how to make their jobs easier.
Yeah, that's a theme I keep hearing about lately. Part of what you said is probably just like competence in various HR subfunctions, benefits, payroll, compensation, and getting good at that. But then the other aspect, which I feel like is ascendant or maybe has been for a while, but it's even more important now, is the concept of understanding the business,
yes,
reading a P&L statement. I keep hearing that. And it seems like when you want to make an impact as an HR leader beyond the administrative aspects, which you do need to do still,
yes,
is you need to, for example, being adding value in and being involved in the due diligence phases of acquisition, right? You want to be able to talk the language of the financial statements to be able to add value in the future. So,
correct.
That's a great point. And I think there's so much to do. And I love that concept of just learn everything you talked about around experimenting with AI, being open to it, but then also being very aware of what it's doing to your brain and almost being clear like what you want from it and knowing that it's not the end all be all. Like you actually need to continue to think critically and question the answers and push forward instead of just automating everything out to Wazoo. And then the call to learn, read, listen.
Learn, just, always.
That seems like that just encapsulates all of it, right? Because if you're learning, then you are continuing to hone that critical thinking muscle. So thank you for this conversation.
It's been great, Thomas. Thank you.
And it's a very interesting time for all of us, but you specifically, as you're pushing organizationally to really get native, right, with this technology. And there's so many nuances to it, which has been a lot of fun exploring with you in this conversation. And I think there's a lot of lessons for folks who are maybe in different phases of the journey, right, and different scales and team sizes, industries. But this is a great story that we can all learn from.
And thank you.
With all that said, I want to thank you once again, Marta, for the conversation. And for everyone who's out there, good luck as you're future-proofing your own organizations, as we can all figure out a way to thrive in the age of AI. Great. See you on the next one.
Thank you.
Bye now. Thanks for joining us on this episode of Future Proof HR. If you like the discussion, make sure you leave us a 5-star review on the platform you're listening to or watching us on. Or share this with a friend or colleague who may find value in the message. See you next time as we keep our pulse on how we can all thrive in the age of AI. Hey, it's Thomas again. One quick question before you go. Are you and your HR team tired of answering the same employee questions again and again in Slack? If yes, our Cleary AI-powered Slack bot is here to help. It takes routine employee requests and answers it automatically while freeing up time for you to take on more important tasks. At the same time, it automatically builds up an HR knowledge base as you go. It's quick to set up, works right in Slack, and you can try it for free. just head on over to goclery.com/HR-chatbot to install it. It's again, goclery.com/HR-chatbot. Thanks again.